what work he does in salvation, what work he does in sanctification, how he strengthens us, how he separates us, how he gives us a serving ministry. And we come to the spot and ask some questions. We talk about being spirit-filled. What does it mean to be spirit-filled? And what is the daily battle? When we've been talking about how the Holy Spirit gives us strength and separates us and, you know, gives us a serving ministry, we've been talking about there's a daily battle that we face every single day. What is that? How can we win this battle? The Holy Spirit desires to bring full ministry and power into your daily life. A spirit-filled life is an incomparable life. If you are living under the control of the Spirit of God, your life will be completely different than what normal man life would be. Truly is a life beyond human capacity. Today there is a lot of information, and we're going to try to go through it quickly, but we have put a lot on the slides today, a little bit more than normal, because there's a lot of great information in this idea, the struggle of the Spirit. See, inside of us, we have the Spirit of God has put us with new desires and given us a, made us a new creature, and we have new things. We want to serve God unlike we ever did before. But also, we live in this flesh. And living in this flesh, it does not want to go and do the things of the Spirit. There is a struggle that happens. I'd like to illustrate this with a story to begin with. The story is about Captain Chesley Sullenberger. I'll tell you the story. I'm going to read the story for you, and then you'll see how it works out together in the end. On January 15, 2009, Captain Chesley Sullenberger began with what for him was a normal work day. Doing his pre-flight preparations on this cockpit of his Airbus A320, he was assigned to a U.S. Airways flight 1549 from New York's LaGuardia Airport, bound for Charlotte, North Carolina. Shortly after 3 p.m., 155 people were on board and ready for takeoff. It was very routine. This man had 42 years of flying experience. Shortly after takeoff, while ascending over Manhattan, the plane unexpectedly hit a large flock of birds, causing both engines to completely lose thrust. One engine caught fire. With the plane disabled, Captain Sullenberger immediately began communicating with the control tower. His mind was racing through options for how to land his plane safely with no engines. Returning to LaGuardia was not an option. There were no other airports or runways within range. It quickly became clear the only option was to attempt a safe ditch of the plane in the Hudson River along Manhattan's west side. He described the emotion of that moment as the worst sickening pit of your stomach falling through the floor feeling that he had ever experienced. For several extremely quiet, intense moments, Sullenberger and his co-pilot called on all their collective experience and knowledge to guide the Airbus toward the Hudson. The lives of 155 people were hung on the accuracy of every decision, and 1,000 factors would have to come perfectly together in order to avoid tragedy. Just before 3:30, Sullenberger announced over the speaker system, "Brace for impact." A few moments later, the plane glided safely into the Hudson River, narrowly avoiding disaster. All 155 people on board were safe. Ferries and rescue boats quickly met the sinking plane as passengers stood single file on the wings. You can see here a picture of them walking on the wings as it's sinking. Sullenberger walked the length of the entire cabin twice, even as the water rose above his waist, to make sure every passenger and every crew member was evacuated. The story of Sullenberger's heroic efforts and unusual calm throughout the incident captivated the entire world. When faced with probable calamity, he responded with improbable poise. When most would have panicked or overreacted, this man remained focused, composed, and resolved. Speaking in an interview after the incident that day, he said this, "One way of looking at this might be that for 42 years I've been making small, regular deposits in this bank of experience, education, and training. And on January 15th, the balance was sufficient so that I can make a large withdrawal." He said, I can't imagine the internal struggle that Captain Sullenberger faced in bringing this aircraft to rest on the Hudson River. While every human emotion would have been screaming to fear, to panic, and to react hastily, with quiet strength, he chose to call on the 42 years of experience. With absolute focus, ignoring his natural responses, he maintained composure and control. And you say, what does that have to do with the struggle of the spirit? Well, we're going to see here in a few minutes. There's another picture a little bit closer. It's amazing the story that was there that happened. And we see here, that's part of what I read already, the flesh versus the spirit. See, the day you trusted Christ as your Holy Spirit came into your life, you began a similar struggle. As a child of God, you were given a new nature by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought into your life a new set of desires, a new creature with all the potential to live holy and godly life. Your old nature, the old man, as the Bible refers to it, was crucified with Christ. In other words, the source of your sinfulness was done away with, and you were given a new nature with good desires through the Spirit. In this light, it seems as though the struggle against sin would have been utterly done away with at salvation. But that's just not the case. The old nature has been replaced by the new nature. You still live in the flesh. And this is the real struggle of the Christian life. It resides in this idea of your flesh versus your spirit. See, we live every day with a new heart and a new nature. It struggles against a well-programmed sinful flesh, a brain, a body, and a physical impulses that were ingrained with sinful patterns of behavior. And your new nature, because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you have new set of desires. Desires to please God, to live for Him, to avoid sin, to live a righteous life. But in your flesh resides the power of sin, wrestling for control and demanding submission. While the Spirit convicts and creates a thirst for righteousness, the flesh fights to have its own way and to draw you back into sin. Now here's the thing is, this is a battle and a struggle that we deal with every day. If we're going to live for God, then it's something that you're going to sit there and fight against all the time. This is the struggle of the Spirit. So how do you be Spirit-filled? First, you must understand the struggle. See, we can actually have a carnal, be called a carnal man, even though we're believers. And despite the fact that your old nature has been crucified, I mean, it's entirely been crucified, it has been put to death, no longer do you have to live that way. It is entirely possible to live in the flesh, to live as though the old man is alive and well. The Bible refers this to as carnal. 1 Corinthians 3:1 puts it this way, and I, brethren, now he's talking to brethren, he's talking to Christians here, this is Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, he says, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He says, when it should have been time when we could talk to you about spiritual things, he said, I could not do that. He says, why is the reason? But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. See, they were losing this battle in their flesh. They were allowing their flesh to take over where the Spirit was trying to say, I want you to do something different. I want you to live for God. I'll give you these desires. And this struggle is probably one of the most frustrating experiences in your Christian life. I know in my life is one of the most frustrating things that I can say, I want to live for God, I want to do these things, I want to have victory, but in the end, sometimes it seems like the flesh always wins out. It will plague you for the rest of your natural life, but in the midst of the struggle, there's hope. There is a path to victory, and eventually, you will have complete deliverance. We got to remember some things. The Holy Spirit, the power and the presence of God lives in us. He can win this struggle, but it all comes down to our daily choices. We do not have to sin. And I'd like to look at this struggle a little bit closer. I want us to understand it, and I want us to get to the spot, because if we don't understand it, you know what's going to happen? We're going to become frustrated. We're just going to quit. We're just going to say, you know what? This is not worth it. I cannot have victory in this area. But if you understand that the Holy Spirit of God has made us to where we can have victory, you know what's going to happen? Is we can truly have victory. But what the devil wants to do, he wants to convince you that you cannot have the ability to overcome that sin. That your flesh has to be fed. Your flesh has to get its way. See, the devil wants to do whatever it can to cause you to have no real hope that God can transform you into becoming the image of His Son. You say, Pastor, this sounds all good, well, and please, but you don't know how much I struggle. You don't know how much I wish I could do better. But He says, that's just for certain people. Not everybody can have victory. Well, the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 7, once again, what we would consider one of the greatest Christians ever to live, had the same struggles. And he's voicing it here. And I'm glad he wrote this passage of Scripture. When you read it, you're going to look at it and say, man, I am confused more reading this passage of Scripture than I was before. But it's the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 7. Let's look in verse 15. This is Paul speaking about his own testimony. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. Romans 7, verse number 15. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. He's saying, look, I have a Spirit of God that lives inside of me, and I want to do these things, but some reason I keep on giving in to the wrong things. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So he's shifting. He's not just blaming a shift. He is in teaching important truths here. The real me, the new me, desires to do good, but the power of sin that's in me still fights against this performance of good. Now, in verse 17, now then is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's important for us to understand this and get this picture. For I know that in me, and he says, and he refers that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. Now, here's the thing is, we are always willing. You know, the spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I don't know about you, but that tells so much about our lives. What I want to do, it just doesn't seem like I ever do it. I always seem like I falter and do wrong. Verse 20, now if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He reminds us that again. I find then a law. He's saying this always happens because your flesh will always fight against you. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. There's always something trying to stop me from doing what's right. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see, he says, look, my delight is found here. This is what I want. This is what I desire. He makes a wonderful case about his heart. The inward man delights in the laws of God, but the power of his members are warring against this law. Look what it says in verse number 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he continues on. He says, O wretched man that I am. He recognizes what he really truly is. Wretched man, in this flesh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You know, this is just an important truth that we really need to hang on to. You know, sometimes Christians get frustrated because they feel like after they're going to get saved, everything's going to be perfect, everything's going to be great. They're never going to have those desires they used to have before they were saved. They're never going to have a problem with any type of sin. But here Paul is saying, look, I struggle, and I struggle daily. That's why I have to die daily. That's why I had to crucify this flesh. This is why I have to say no to the flesh. And there is a fight that goes on inside of us. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. And if you can imagine, inside of you there is a battle going on, your flesh versus your spirit. And the things that you would do, because you have this new desires, you have a new heart, it's like, it's always a struggle. You say, what's the big deal? Well, the first thing is, it's important to have knowledge about it. It is important that we understand the difference between having a new nature and having a sin nature. Because it is your nature to sin. If you believe that it's in your nature to sin, you're doomed to failure. But if it's in your nature to do good, then through the power of God, this new nature can overcome fleshly habits. if you believe because you live in this flesh, you have to sin, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fail. You're going to doom. You're going to live a life that is a weak Christian life, because you're going to give in to your flesh. But if you know according to your nature, your new nature, God's desires, you go to Romans chapter 6, you see those things, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have the ability and the knowledge to know that you can have victory. Let's put it this way. I get a little illustration here. I know that nobody in this room is a dog. Okay, I get that. But imagine if you thought that you were a dog. And there are some weird people in the world who think that they're dogs. They crawl around on all fours. They can eat food out of a dog dish. They walk around and they want to have people pat them on the heads. And you know what? If they think that they're a dog, you know what they're going to act like? They're going to act like a dog. But in your Christian life, if you think that you have no choice but to sin, you know what you're going to do? You're going to sin. If in your, because if you're listening to your flesh and you will follow what you believe. In your Christian life, if you believe you have a sin nature, then your behavior will follow that belief. You will believe that you're essentially stuck in sin and you will reason, I am just that way and I cannot change. There's a lot of us that do that when it comes to certain areas. I believe because of my past, I have this certain ingrained sin. We call that a stronghold in my life. And I can't change it. That's not true. So in Christian growth, you will never move beyond your belief. If you believe you are a dog, you're going to act like a dog. And this is why the Bible teaches you that you are a new creature. Indeed, you received a new nature. We're not talking about God just cleaning you up a little bit. We're not talking about God doing a reform job to your old nature. No, we're talking about crucifixion to the old nature, regeneration, and a new nature being born in you. This is the work of regeneration. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. You have a new nature living inside of you to where you are no longer required to sin. You don't have to. Yes, your flesh is in you and it feels strong. But if you believe what the Bible says and the Bible teaches, you don't have to act like you have to be a sinner anymore. Instead, you can choose to believe what he has done. So we see the first step here. The first step for real growth, the first step for real growth in the Holy Spirit and the spiritual victory over the flesh is to believe what God says about your new nature, the new man. It's, and that he, you put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And it's the idea of putting something on. And it's the idea of taking something off. You think about it. And here he's saying, look, you have a new nature. You are a new creature. Old things are passed away. So the first step in victory is to understand, is to have spiritual victory, is to believe what God says. You've been made a new man. You have a new nature. Old things are passed away. And yes, your flesh is going to cry out and says it must be fed, but we need to understand what the Bible says. It's sort of like when we use that word reckoning yourself dead to sin. It's the same type of principle. The next step is to put off the old man and put on the new man. If I was going to take this jacket off and put on a new jacket, that's what it's referring to. It's saying those old things, you take those old things off, you get rid of that old dirty laundry, you take it off, and then you put something new on. And just as you put on a clean set of clothes every morning. And the Bible speaks of this many times, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Those things that you used to do, that sin, you put those things off. And it says, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know, this is, we put on the new man. It's renewed in the knowledge that we have, and the Spirit of God renews that. We learned about that. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have a new nature here, and you take off the old, you put on the new. There's three ways to look at that. There's three more words here I think that could help you a little bit in understanding it. Rebirth, renewal, and redemption is another way of looking at these principles. It gives you a big picture of a three-part process of eternal salvation. The moment you trust Christ, a lot happens. Rebirth is immediate. Rebirth was the miracle of the moment of the decision. Your spirit was made new and the Holy Spirit came into your heart. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We got to get this and understand that rebirth is something that happens instantaneously. The next part is, so there's rebirth, but then there's renewal. Renewal is a lifelong daily process. This is our sanctification process. This is when God transforms our heart and our life from the inside out. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're supposed to be able to prove what that is good and acceptable will of God. And we see here, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And once again, put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So it starts over here with our rebirth. We've been born again. We've been born into the Spirit of God. We become a new creature. Now what God wants to do is us to spend a lifelong process of renewing our mind and daily process of becoming more and more like his son. And someday we'll look forward to redemption. Redemption is the final step of salvation, when my sinful flesh will be traded in for a body, a new body, a perfect body without sinful tendencies. I know some people are looking forward to the day when their knee doesn't hurt anymore, or when their back doesn't hurt anymore, or when they get to have a full head of hair or whatever. You know what I'm really looking forward to is not having that sinful tendencies anymore. I'm looking forward to not having that flesh that says, you got to do this, you got to act this way. I'm looking forward to not having that pride in my heart and my life to be able to try to cause me to live my way and not God's way. But this will not happen until we see the Lord at the end of our life, or this life. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to the with the redemption of our body. See, we got to get to this point. We see the Holy Spirit of God wants to do all these works in our lives. We learned those for those last number of weeks. Now we come to the spot, okay, I want to be Spirit-filled. How do I become Spirit-filled? Well, we need to recognize there's a struggle. We need to be honest with ourselves. There is a flesh. We like to think, hey, I'm in control. I'm not having any struggles. Now, our flesh will always be crying out for you to feed it. And our flesh will always be contrary to what the Spirit of God. It says in Ephesians 1:14, for which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Over and over we will see that he will redeem us. 2 Corinthians 5:1-5 speak of this, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, of eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. I'm not going to finish all that because we're pressed for time here a little bit. But someday we'll be redeemed. Someday we'll receive that new body. They say, Pastor, what's the big deal? We've heard this all before. Why is this important? So here it is. Until our body is redeemed, God is trying to transform you. Using this work of renewal, he's renewing our minds. He is coming to the spot where he's saying, with every passing day, the Holy Spirit desires to live out the character of Jesus Christ through your mind and body. This is the daily battle of the Christian life, and this is how God has designed it purposely this way. And sometimes it can be frustrating, but God has chosen this process. He chose to glorify himself through the daily transformation of your life. Now here's the question. Are you going to let him renew you? Are you going to let him to continue to grow you and bring the character of Christ in your life? And while the struggle is sometimes discouraging, the victory is promised. In the end, in verse number 24, Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? This sounds frustrating. This sounds overwhelming. Who can do this? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then you get to chapter number 8. He begins talking about living the victorious Christian life. And he talks about how we can have victory, how that all things can work together for good, and how that with God on our side, we are conquerors. But it begins with understanding this. We have a spirit. We have a flesh. I know I've used this illustration before, and I don't know what the origin of the illustration is, but the illustration, what I understood was Indian chief would call his tribal warriors in, and they would watch a dog fight. And the Indian chief would always say, I know who's going to win. And he would always choose who the winner was. And the military or the Indian warriors would think he was so wise. And one day someone asked them, well, how do you know which one's going to win? What makes you so wise? He says, it's nothing about wisdom. He says, I feed one dog a lot more the weeks leading up to the fight. And I starve the other dog. The one dog's stronger. The one dog's going to win because it's been fed and is much stronger than this other dog. And that's how he knew he was going to win. It's the same illustration with our fight. We got to struggle between our spirit and between our flesh. Whatever we're feeding is going to become stronger. We must learn to say no to our flesh little by little, so someday we'll be able to say no, yes to the spirit when those harder decisions come. It's when we give over to the flesh and we keep on letting the flesh have this battle and this battle and this battle and this battle get stronger and stronger over here when we think something's really important, over here when we really want to make the difference and we really want to live by the Spirit of God, we just don't have the strength to do it. And we're wondering, why am I so weak? Why is God not helping me? Why am I struggling with this same sin over and over? It's because we keep on saying yes to the flesh and yes to the flesh and yes to the flesh to the point where we are no longer spiritually strong because we have given so much to the flesh that we are so weak, we cannot accomplish what our new heart, our new nature, our new desires. We think, oh, that TV show is not that big of a deal. We think that relationship isn't going to hurt us that much. We think by listening to that, it's not going to hurt us. I can keep my little pet sins of being bitter or anger or whatever it is. These things are not going to bother me. But when it comes to the moment in time when you want to be used by God, you do not have the strength to do it because you fed your flesh so much that you're weak over here. Why are we weak and anemic? Is it because the God that Paul served is a different God than us? No. Is it because the Holy Spirit that we serve is different than the Holy Spirit that Paul had? No. It's because of the fact that Paul said, I recognize that I am a wretched man, and I recognize I must say no to my flesh over and over and over, little by little by little, so that someday I can be able to do what God wants me to do. This brings us back to our illustration about this guy, Chesley. And, you know, what did he say? He said that a few tense moments when his decisions held the fate of 155 people. The preparation paid off. When the struggle between his natural impulses and his years' experience collided, experience won. He had said his years of deposits were worth every moment. He said, little by little, I kept on depositing information and information and information in. And it came to the spot and the moment when it came important that the information won, the experience won. And it's the same thing in our Christian lives. If we struggle between the flesh and the spirit, we'll ever be won by the spirit. We're going to have to make deposits into his account every single day. We're going to have to yield to him thousands upon thousands of times as he daily performs his renewing work. That means every time we have a challenge, every little thing that happens, we say yes to the spirit, we say no to the flesh, we say yes to the spirit, we say no to the flesh. I don't understand why I'm going to have to do this. I don't understand why you want me to witness. I don't understand why you want me to love my husband. I don't understand why you want me to love my wife. I don't understand why you want me to be faithful to church. I don't understand why you want me to read my Bible. I don't understand why you want me to pray. You know, but it's little, little, little saying yes to God, yes to God, yes to God. And the day will come when you have to make that, just do something for God that he gives you the ability to do, you'll be ready. It's a struggle inside your spirit, day by day. And you're just like, I don't understand why I struggle with this sin so much. I don't understand why I can't get over this. You know what? Start saying yes to God. Build up that strength. Make that spiritual man much stronger. I know there's some people, not many in this room, that would say, well, there's areas of my life that I have victory in. And Pastor, you say that struggle that certain people have, you know, I don't have that same struggle in that area. Yes, I'm human. I feel a little twinge towards that. You know what? Many times that's because that believer is more mature. Many times that believer has said yes to God over and over and over in their life. And the things that might be, to us might not even cause us to think, hey, that's attractive. We might think, man, that's disgusting. That's ugly. That's horrendous. I want nothing to do with that. And some Christians are looking at that saying, boy, I wish I could have that. Why is that? Because there's been there's been times in your life when you said no to this and no to this and no to this and yes to God, and now you're strong. You're able to face those things. Does that mean that you're not going to face any type of sin? No, it's going to be a different battle. It's going to be a different plane, because your flesh will never give up. It'll always be a struggle. But if we want to have victory, it comes through Jesus Christ. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with my with the flesh, the law of sin. I want to remind you that that law of sin, that flesh that we have, it will never be satisfied. If you think, well, if I could just look at this one more time, if I could just experience this one more, flesh will never be satisfied. Say yes to God today and start building up and depositing it. So when the time comes, when you're faced with that ultimate trial, you can say, no, I have no desires because I've given God first in my life. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for the fact that there is a Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us.